154, Kuf Nun Dalet. We're in the middle of talking about Mechamer. Mechamer is sort of the somewhat of a catch-all term, but it basically means guiding your animal to do work for you, or to ride for you, to drive for you on Shabbos, and it's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "At Behemtecha." So here we have on the right at the top of 154a, Rav Zvid Masni Hach, Rav Zvid said the following. What is the punishment for Mechamer? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, HaMechamer Ach Behema B'Shabbos B'Shogig Eino Chayiv Chattas B'Mezir Chayiv Skila. So this is somewhat of a quirky statement here. You'd be Chayiv only if it was B'Mezir. If you're Shogig, whatever that means, Shogig, for your animal to be Shogig, or for you to be Shogig on behalf of your animal, so you would not be Chayiv Achatas, but you would be chayiv skila if it was b'mezid. Presumably that means referring to the person, not the animal. Mesiv Rav HaMachalas HaShabbos Bar Shachai Nishkal Gaos Chatas Chayav Nazaro Skila. We have a phrase from a brisa which you quoted yesterday that anything which is chayiv for shogi achatas is going to be chayiv for its mezid skila. So the Gemara says, "Ha'ein chayav v'nal shkasu chatas, ein chayav v'nal zdol skila." The implication is, if it's not, meaning it sounds like A, then B, and therefore, if one is not chayav on a shogig for a chatas, so then one should not be chayav for a mezid skila. You shouldn't get stoned for doing it on purpose. So how could it be? How could it be that Rav Zvid says that you would get skila but not a chatas for a shogig? So the Gemara says, wait a second, Mikatani ha ein chayavin. Does it say sort of if then? Hachi karma, this is what it means. Davar shechayavin ashigaso chatas, those things which are chayav a shogig for chatas, so then chayav maoz dono skila, then they are chayav skila, meaning v'yesh davar she'ein chayavin ashigaso chatas chayav maoz dono skila. The implication is not to say that if you're not chayiv shogeg, then you're not chayiv skila. But it is to say that most things are like that, and there are some things that are like this, that you're chayiv only for the mezid, but not for the shogeg. So my nihu, and what is that iser? That is mechamer, which they translate as driving a laden animal. So the Gemara says, Rava achua derav mari barachel. Rava, the one who says this, or the one who... Rava, the brother of Rav Mari Barachel, the Armila Avua de Rav Mari Barachel, and some say it's the father of Rav Mari Barachel. Interesting note in the Steinsaltz Gemara today about who this person was and the relationship to Shmuel and the relationship to other prominent Amoraim, specifically Mar Zutra, who we find a lot. But either way, so Lelishna Basra, according to the second opinion that it's that Rava was the father of Rav Mari Barachel, so Kasha Hadarav Achshrei Rav Mari Barachel, then it doesn't make sense that Rav had to validate the status of Rav Mari Barachel if Rava was his father. So of course he's okay. Amani Beporsi de Bavel, in order to establish him as an officer in Bavel. So the Gemara says Dilma Trei Mari Barachel Havu. Maybe there were two different Rav Mari Barachels. And that's why Rava's son was Rav Mari Barachel. But there's another Rav Mari Barachel who was the son of a convert, and therefore they had to check his mother's lineage to make sure he was Jewish. So, Havamasni Lal Haishmaisa Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan Liftor. So, in the name of Rav Mari Barachel, whoever that was, so they had they taught this to say that the Rav Yochanan says a person does mechamer is pater, which means that it's only asur midi rabbanan, not asur midi raisa. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know? Amar Rabbi Hamechamer Achar Behemta B'Shabbos pater miklum. That's the statement we have from Yochanan, apparently from Rav Mari Barachel. Anyone does mechamer on Shabbos is completely pater. What exactly does that mean? Pater miklum. I assume that just means pater midaraisa, but I don't know. B'shogeg lochai, maybe miklum says that it's also mutter lagamri, I don't know. B'shogeg lo mechayiv chatas to hukchakot or kula avodas. Or the reason you're not chayiv chatas for the shogeg, for the unwitting performance of the act of the animal is because everything's connected to Avodah Zarah. As we said yesterday, just like Avodah Zarah has to be begufo, the person that does the Avodah Zarah is punished, but somebody else is not. So too, when an animal does something on your behalf, you can't be punished, just like you can't be punished for that type of activity by Avodah Zarah. B'mezid na'amil ha'machayev, so too when it comes to a deliberate activity, you wouldn't be chayev. Ditnan, ha'machalas ha'shabas v'davar she'chayev v'nashkas u'chatev z'azdon ha'skila. Ha'ein chayev v'nashkas u'chatev, ein chayev v'nazdon ha'skila. As we just said before, the logic would presumably exist already that a person who would not be chayev for shogi for a specific act would also not be chayev skila for the mezid of that same act. So belav namilo machayv. So maybe you're going to think, okay, fine. So there's no skila, but at least there's an issur d'oraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah, so maybe you'd still be chayv alav, which means that you'd get malchus, you get lashes for it, not necessarily stoning. Why would you think that to have lav shein tan lazaras v'isus based? And so the truth is that you wouldn't, because technically it's the type of lav which the basin would give you a punishment of death for. V'chol lav shein tan lazaras v'isus based in ain lokna lav, and anything which is technically something which you could get the capital punishment for, so then we're not going to give you lashes. So this basically means that because Shabbos is generally something you get a skila for, I think Shar Melachos Shabbos Nami Haikra Nafgalu, right? Because when it says the pasuk of Los Asa Melacha, it's all one Melacha, except for maybe Havara, as we said yesterday, according to Rav Yossi. But now that all other Los Asa Melachos is going to get the death penalty, if someone does something which has a different type of penalty, or which we're proposing might have a different type of penalty, so we can't impose a different punishment for that, because it's looped in with everything else, which is the death penalty, and therefore you can't get a different punishment. So either way, that's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why he assumes Mechamer is not getting any kind of punishment. Obviously, a lot of this stuff has very far-reaching implications, which is why the daf is pretty small. There's a lot of Tosfos talking about it. But here we're over on the second Amud already. V'afiluman da'amar lokin. And even according to the one who says, you get malchus, you get lashes, lichtov rachmana lo sasakum lacha uvhem techa. Atal amli, why does the pasuk say, lo sasakum lacha ata uvhem techa? Of course, lo sasakum malacha is referring to the person. Why does it have to say ata? So Gemara says, "Who nihu de mechayev v'hem tolo mechayev." Specifically, that person is going to get the chiyuv lo sasam lacha ata v'hem tolo mechayev. Very interesting drasha based on the way that the phrasing, based on the order of the words in the pasuk. So the Gemara then quotes from the original discussion that if a person is carrying something, he can't put it down on anything else, he has to carry it himself. So then when you're carrying it on your shoulder, so when you get to the outer courtyard, so you just kind of let it fall. Others referring to when it's on the donkey. When you get to the outer courtyard, so you unstrap the package which is on top of the donkey and just let it fall. So if the animal is carrying some glass vessels, maybe you can put some pillows underneath it to catch it, so that even though, because you're not going to be holding it with your own hands, you're just going to let it fall. So then you can put some pillows down around the animal. Umatra chaval v'hasakanoflin, and then the packages will just fall, and therefore they'll be protected because you have put the pillows around it. Wait a second, you're not allowed to take these pillows except for the sake of what they're needed for Shabbos. And therefore, he's saying that you're allowed to take things that you're needed for Shabbos. So why can't you take these glass vessels? You can use them for Shabbos. Use them as a pitcher. Use them as a whatever. I don't know. So why did you have to untie the ropes in such an unusual manner? Just pick up the glass stuff. So Gemara says, no. Kikamar of Huna Bakarni Dumana. We're talking about the horns of a blood letter. I don't know what that means. To lo chazilei. I don't know what kind of glass is involved in that, but I thought we were talking about glass, right? Yeah, glass. I don't know what kind of glass is referring to the horns. Maybe they made them in horn shapes. I don't know. Either way, because you can't use those for something on Shabbos. So wait a second, even if that's true that you can't use the glass, you're going to now use the cushions or the pillows, and you're going to use those pillows. You can't use the pillows anymore. So that's a concept we've talked about before. Mevatel kli mehechano. You are nullifying the prepared use of these pillows. Pillows are typically used for something else, and now you're using them on Shabbos for something else. So the Gemara says, no, but shlifei zutri. We're referring to small bundles of glass vessels. I guess these horns, these small bloodletting horns, are very small. And therefore, when they fall onto the cushions, they can be removed. They just have to be, no pun intended, break the fall of the glass so that they don't break themselves. But then you can use the pillows and you're not permanently leaving them there. I mean, you can take the pillows from underneath them. You can't take the actual vessels because they're mukta, as we just said. But you could take the pillows. So the Gemara now says, an animal was laden with tevel, meaning untithed food, produce, and pieces of glass. Then so same suggestion. So untie the package, and then the packages will just fall. Even if they're going to break. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if they're all even going to break, that means that you're not allowed to put any cushions there. Isn't that because the cushions are mevatel kli mehechano? So why are you allowed to do it in our situation, but you're not allowed to do it in this situation? They're both talking about glass. So the Gemara says, no, hasan bekulsa. Over there, it's talking about big chunks of glass, which are used anyway to be broken. And therefore, we're not going to allow you to take these pillows and this whole arrangement if you're not going to be, if you're not interested, or it's not necessary to maintain the solid nature of these chunks anyway. So tekanami dekatan dumya de tevel has to be similar to tevel. Ma tevel de lochazile af hachanami lochazile. It's clearly something which is not usable. It doesn't have any utility for you, because zotu tevel doesn't have any utility to you until you take truma from it. Umay af al pishem mishdabrin. What does it mean? Even though it's going to break, mahu de tevel hefsid mo'na michashashu. Maybe you're going to say that even a small amount of loss, we would still allow you to take these pillows. So the truth is that you're going to lose some glass in this process if they fall, and then little shards are going to break off. You're going to lose some glass. Kamash Malan, we're not going to allow you to do it for Hefsid Mu'at. We're only going to allow you to use this trick for Hefsid Meruba. And therefore, we're not going to let you carry the glass or save the glass, presumably. I don't know. Yeah, Rashi says it's talking about putting the pillows down. Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Ha'isa b'hamto tuna shlif shel tfuah. A person has an animal which has a bunch of grain on it. Maniach rosho tachteha. So you can put your own head underneath the pile of grain. U'mesakol tzad achar, meaning this is an abnormal case, presumably because it's mukza, and therefore you're not allowed to touch it with your hands. V'hunof v'mi elav, and then the grain is just going to fall off by itself. Chamosh Rabbi Gamliel, Ha'isa tuna devash v'lotor alav horka ad motzei Shabbos. So, unfortunate case here that the donkey of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, was carrying a bunch of honey, and he didn't want to take it off because of all these concerns. So he lemotzei Shabbos mesa, the animal was carrying all of this honey all of Shabbos, and then the donkey died because it buckled under the weight. It was too much of a burden. I don't know. Hanan Tanan, wait a second, Rabbi Gamliel, doesn't the Mishnah say no to kelim hanital, and can't you take the things? So this honey is usable on Shabbos. Why can't you take it with your hands off of the donkey? So the Gemara says, no, shehidbish. It already became spoiled. I don't exactly know what spoiled honey tastes like, but apparently it can happen. So if it's spoiled, so then hidbish lemai chazi. So why did Rabbi Gamliel bring it back on the donkey if it wasn't something he could use? So the Gemara says, no, l'chisa de gamli. It's something you can use to heal the wounds of a camel, which is not something you can do on Shabbos. So therefore, maybe, although I think we talked about that a long time ago, but either way, because you can't use it on Shabbos except for, you can use it during the week, that's why he brought it, but you can't use it on Shabbos, that's why he didn't touch it. And therefore his animal died. So the Gemara says, wait a second, v'yatr chavam v'yiblu sakin. So why didn't he use the trick of our Mishnah? Cut the ropes and let the packages fall down. So the Gemara says, no, mitzru zike. Because then it would crack. The jugs containing the honey would crack. He didn't want to do that. We have the karma kasasos v'aniach tachtayim. We had this whole discussion about bringing the pillows. So no matan fi become about to clean mechano. He was worried that they'd get worried that they'd get dirty, and they'd get all disgusting. You wouldn't be able to use the pillows anymore, and therefore he was worried about to clean mechano. So the Gemara answers finally v'hiketar ba'elchayim. But what about the donkey? The donkey is in such pain and dying. So how could you allow the donkey to struggle all of Shabbos? So he says, no, kasavar tzar ba'al chayim d'rabbanan. A big machlokes about tzar ba'al chayim is whether or not it's a din d'araisa or if it's a din d'rabbanan, based on different isurim of prika and tina. Not for now, but he was of the Rabbi Gamliel was of the opinion that it was d'rabbanan, therefore it wouldn't be something you'd be allowed to violate Shabbos for the sake of. Very interesting Gemara. In many different ways. But the Gemara continues, Abai Ashkele Rabba to come shafshef le brea gaba de chamra. I don't know what this means, but he was playing with his kid and he was sliding the kid down the back of the donkey. I don't know, he was using the animal as a slide. Okay? So Amar Le Kamishdamish Barbe Chalim. Mar Bebale Chaim. As I went through the Maseh, I was wondering when this was come up, and I guess they waited for best for last over here. You're not allowed to use animals on Shabbos. So what does that? So how could Rabba use the animal as a slide? So Amar Le Kamishdamish Barbe Chalim Bebale Chaim. So Amar Le No Tzdadin Hain. Tzdadin means you're using it as a indirect use. Or you're using the side. Here it's referring to using the side as opposed to actually going on top of the animal. And when it comes to the sides of an animal or indirect use of the animal, so the rabbis were not concerned about that. Suminat Tamer, how do you know? It's not Machachal Mavasaknoflin, because it says in the Mishnah that you're allowed to undo the packages from an animal, which means you're allowed to use the packages that were on the animal. You just can't touch the packages. So my law bechever gvolki tavlut studin ut studin lo gazu brabanan. The packages are on the side, and it has a certain type of knotting process that you would have to lean up against the animal in order to undo the packages. And here and clearly the rabbis allowed you to do that, to lean up against the side of the animal, not on top of the animal, but on the side of the animal. And that would not be a problem. That would not be a gzera of using the animal. So the Gemara says, "Lo be'ever gevolki." This is talking not about that type of tight straps, but rather a more loose straps. To lo havut studin, and therefore it wouldn't require you to, but it wouldn't require you to use the animal to use the sides of the animal. Inami belachta, or rather, it's with could be with some other kind of rope that could easily be undone without leaning up against the animal. So the Gemara says, Esave, Shtein bi de adam v'achas bi'ilan k'shera. Gemara is talking about a sukkah, or a Mishnah talking about a sukkah. So if there are two walls of the sukkah which were supported by a person, meaning he put them up, v'achas bi'ilan, and one of them was supported by a tree, so k'shera v'ein olin la b'yom tov. So that's a good sukkah, but you're not allowed to go into it on Yantiv because you'd be using the tree, right? A tree and an animal are similar in that you're not supposed to use a tree on Shabbos. So my lav dechak bay beilan v'sakich bay dehavaluhu tzadin tzadin asurin. So clearly you situated this wall up against the tree, and therefore that's why it's not okay for you to go into it, because you'd be using the tree. So Gemara says, lo dechaf ye leilan v'anach sikach ilave. It's that you bent over the tree and place the schach on top of the tree, therefore you're using the top of it, not just the sides of it. And when you use the top of something, so that's a bigger isser. What's the top and what's the side? I'm not really sure. How do you classify a branch? Clearly here, it's good enough that it's referring to that it's referring to it as the main use of the tree, and therefore it's not studded, it's not the side, and it's more problematic. So the Gemara says, wait a second, ihach, if that's the case, if it's really the case that you're not allowed to use it at all, when the schach is on top, so Ema Seifa, the end of the Mishnah, presumably is talking about the same thing, but it says, Shalosh bide adam va'achas b'ilan k'shera, if there are three walls which were made by a man, and then one wall which was made by placing the schach, or I guess the wall was there, and also the schach was on top of the tree, just like we said before, Olin lo biyom tov. You're allowed to go into on Yom Tov. V'dekafi le'ilan amai Olin lo biyom tov. But if it's really using the tree in that way, so why are you allowed to go into Yom Tov? V'alamai tzadin asurin. You're going to tell me therefore that tzadin is asurin. Sof amai Olin lo biyom tov. If it is asur, so then it should be asur in both cases. If it's not asur, it shouldn't be asur in either case. You have to figure out what's the difference between the reish and the seifa. So the Gemara says, Ela hasam begavaza parsichna. De'ilan gufei dofen ba'amahu deshavye. That the reason over there that the Gemara is talking about is because the branches are spread out and one is making the tree itself into a wall. Not that you used the tree to lean something up against it, but rather the tree itself was the wall. Anything you're allowed to take away from a tree and the wall would stay by itself. So the sukkah would maintain itself. So then, Olin lo biyom tov, but if it's not something that a tree would allow you to continue without the tree, so then you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. So here it's not really talking about studding, it's not really talking about the propping up of something against the tree, it's really just talking about the tree as a wall, and therefore this whole Mishnah is not something that you can use to teach us about studding. This concept of using an animal or the side of an animal or the side of the tree. So lemakatanai. So let's say that the machlokas is actually a machlokas tanaim. Ain olam biyom tov. So we said the mishnah we just said is not you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, olam biyom tov. He says you're not allowed that you are allowed to. So my lab, maybe they're talking about this machlokas. Mar sabat sadan asur, mar sabat mutarin. And therefore, we don't have to bend over backwards to figure out what that Mishnah was just talking about. We can just say it's two different opinions. One opinion says you're allowed to use sudden. One opinion says you're not allowed to use sudden, meaning the size of the tree. So Amar Ba'ilo, it's not true. The Kuli Amat sudden as soon everyone agrees using the side of the tree is Asur. V'hach b'tzidet stein kamifilki. Mar savar tzidet stein as soon. Mar savar tzidet stein mutarin. Abaye says that you're allowed to use, everyone agrees you're not allowed to use the side of the tree. The question here is, are you allowed to use an indirect side of a tree? Meaning there's something else in between the tree and the wall. So the question is, can you prop up the wall against the thing which is against the tree? How do you define those things is probably even more complicated. But Rava Amar, no, it's not true. Manda Asur B'Tzadin, Asur B'Nayim B'Tzidet Tzadin, Manda Shar B'Tzidet Tzadin, Shari Nayim B'Tzadin. The person who says it's two pieces removed from the tree is also going to say it's usher to use one piece removed from the tree, meaning resting on the tree. And the person that says that you can't use the tzidet stein, meaning the indirect use of the tree by something in the middle, you also cannot use something which is directly on the tree. We will continue this conversation tomorrow because it goes on for another few paragraphs, or I guess we'll have it in the Shabbos daf. Moshe Shabbos recording. Mirtz Hashem will continue. This actually happens to have a lot of very practical halachas for pet owners. To what extent are you allowed to use your pet, move your pet, and also for things on a tree? Can you lean up against a tree on Shabbos? If the tree is moving, if it's not moving, can you put on a baby swing on a tree branch on Shabbos? These things are, or can you use a tree, a baby swing on a tree branch on Shabbos? These are all interesting questions that come out of this Gemara. Can you use a tree on Shabbos? Can you use an animal on Shabbos? Okay. Shkayach, everyone. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.